Would you all like to join me in a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Again, my name is Bobby, and I'm an addict. The thing about H&I for me is that I never spent any time in prison. So when my sponsor first told me at about 3 months clean that I was going to go with him on a panel to one of the institutions, I had a little bit of resistance because I didn't think that I had any kind of a message to carry. And I don't know about you guys, but in the beginning for me, service work was really about just trying to be accepted by everybody else. And, you know, as I was reviewing through the H&I workshop that came out of NAS, it was talking in there, it didn't matter why you do service work eventually. It's for the fulfillment of, like, what you do. And I didn't know that in the beginning. So my very first experience in an institution was he just told me to go there and sit down and listen. And so, I kind of followed direction, and that was the important thing. I didn't know anything about, at that time we didn't have workshops for H&I. It's like you just pretty much followed your sponsor's direction if you wanted to stay clean. And I kind of did that. It was only later on that I started learning about the primary purpose, about, you know, what we were doing there as part of a panel. I didn't know anything about practicing the 12-step. I didn't think that I had a message to carry. I didn't come into Narcotics Anonymous to stay clean anyway. I just came there just like take a break, you know, because I didn't have a problem like you guys had. I didn't realize that just by showing up that eventually I would be carrying the message. That was a 3 months clean that I actually went into the institution for the very first time, and I've been in H&I ever since. And so it was only later on I started feeling the rewards of like what being there meant. You know, I thought it was about saving them, and it was really about the fact that, like, it was beginning to save me. I was telling Ralph a little bit earlier today, because we sat down and had a meeting about, what kind of a presentation we were going to make, and of course it always boils down to letting God do whatever God wants to do. The fulfillment of like what H&I does for me is really around the fact that, and by the way, I need to tell you this, okay? I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, right? It's like, I know that almost everybody in here probably is in service work of some kind or another, right? Hopefully, what we do today is we share a little bit of our experience, and, we want to open up the end of it to questions and answer, or even some of your experiences about what you've had and how we can help the H&I structure within our own areas. I'm from the Kings Tulare County area of the Mid-State, and we've struggled for a lot of years trying to get people to get involved in the H&I subcommittee. And, most of it has been by example. And, I'm glad that my sponsor took the time to be able to tell me, you need to do this. Because, every time I come out of the institutions or one of the hospitals or one of the places that we visit, I always feel like I'm on some kind of a high. And I always share that in meetings when I come out, because they'll never understand that until they get there and they participate, one of the things that it talked about in the stage in our workshop, it talked about how we need to carry the message, and a lot of it is not around the meeting kind of format, but in the areas that we participate in Tulare and Kings County, most of the We go into a men's facility over there, and in this men's facility, there are four different units. One of those units is RSAT, which is a drug-based kind of a program. So most of those people that have participated in that meeting already know about Narcotics Anonymous. So we don't spend a lot of time in the early part of the meeting talking about Narcotics Anonymous. What we do is we found that our experience has been that allowing those people to be able to share after we've shared part of our experience and it is more beneficial to them. We've had some fantastic responses from people. I know that some of you have probably been in institutions before too, but for me, one of the most profound things I've ever had happen in an institution is to watch an addict who's a prisoner in there break down and cry and really get gut level with how they're feeling. So we kind of like encourage that kind of a meeting to allow those people to be able to share what's going on with them. I was telling Ralph earlier that one of the things that we try and do early on is, and it talks in here about that too, about the do's and the don'ts, and I'm sure Ralph's going to probably cover part of that too as well, but you know, the thing about following the rules is really an important thing. You know, none of that stuff was explained to me in the beginning other than how to dress. And, you know, so, you know, it was like kind of a learning process along the way. One of the experiences that we had is at Corcoran State Prison, one of the guys who was on the panel broke the rules, and we got kicked out of there. It took us a long, long time to be able to get back into the institution again. We just barely got back in again. And, the responsibility behind following the do's and the don'ts are very important. As a matter of fact, the way we start off a lot of our panels is we start talking about kind of like a boundary around what we're going to discuss. You know, we tell them straight up front that as part of the structure is that we're not going to talk to you about problems you're having with the guards. We're here to carry the message of what Narcotics Anonymous is about, and about the strength and the hope of like what can happen to you if you stay clean. And I found for me that probably the most important message that I can carry is about the fact that I had problems identifying with powerlessness in the very beginning, you know. Even though they're in an institution, they probably could relate to it a little bit more. That wasn't my experience, you know. My experience was that I thought I was in control of things, even though I ended up being in Narcotics Anonymous, right? So this concept about I didn't have any control over what was happening to me was a part of the message that I try and carry. The other thing is that I try and pass a lot more message around the hope. And I tell them straight up front, look, I've never done any prison time, you know? I remember the very first time that my sponsor allowed me to share at one of the institutions was that, you know, the one thing I told him right off the bat is I don't even feel like I can relate to you, but, you know, because I didn't believe I carried a message. And some guy ended up popping up going, well, you know what, if you've never done any time, you know, I don't even know what you're doing here. And, you know, that was one of the fears I had about getting involved in H&I in the very beginning, is about the fact that they weren't going to accept me or I didn't have something to offer to them. And as it would happen, as God would take it, another one of the prisoners jumped up and told him to shut up and sit down. He goes, you know what? He may not have done any prison time, but he's clean. And why don't you stop and listen to what it is that he's telling you about how he can stay clean, and you can't. And that was kind of like the thing that sealed it for me. You know, I finally felt like I was accepted. That, in fact, it really wasn't about doing time. It was really about how not to do time. It was really about how to change your life, and that's the message that for me, H&I carries. You know, there was a couple of things that went through here that I kind of like there, whatever their reason is that it's really around the reward of what you get when you leave there. You know, I've never left an institution without feeling good. Not about, in the beginning, it was about the fact that I could leave, you know what I mean? But in the end, it's really around the fact that that there's a payoff for me. And the payoff for me is that every once in a while, just every once in a while, I'll sit in one of those panels and some inmate will get gut level and talk about what they're afraid of, you know, break down and cry because their families have been torn apart. And that's part of my story, too, you know, about how that happened to me as well. And then with a little bit of work through the steps and continuing to go to meetings of Narcotics Anonymous, what happened is I got a chance to be able to put that relationship with my children and my wife back together. And that's one of the things that they're probably feeling the most guilty about, this. They can't do that. And I understand that. I understand that how it feels to be like a failure because you can't seem to drop using drugs as a choice over trying to keep your family together. So, the other thing is that every once in a while, and I'm sure we all have experienced this, is that you'll go into a meeting and all of a sudden one of them will show up, right, at that meeting. And it's like, that's it for me. It's like, it's not a matter of whether they get or not, it's just the fact that they showed up. So obviously the message is being carried that there is some kind of hope by doing that. It talks in here about presentations. Myself personally, we've done several different kinds of presentations. We're invited by the treatment facilities every once in a while to come and do a panel. Then I pretty much take the information about Narcotics Anonymous rather than my own personal story as a way to be able to present what Narcotics Anonymous has to offer to them. Eventually, I'll add a little bit about what my personal experience has been so that they can see some hope too. I always start off those kinds of presentations with the fact that, I was in a treatment facility too. I got first introduced to H&I in a treatment facility, didn't even know it. Didn't even know that that's what that was. And I try and share the experience that, here it is some years later, and here I am in the opposite side, doing what was so freely given to me, And so, this is probably the most important thing I think I've learned in H&I. One is that it was really important that I get moving on the steps, in order to be able to carry a clear message. The other part was I had a sponsor who would make me start on a step. When I finished that step, he would make me work a tradition. Today, I understand the reason why he would do that. I understand the reason why traditions are really an important part of, like, being part of the service structure and moving forward with how you present Narcotics Anonymous, rather than, it says in here, you take the message, not the mess, I didn't understand all that, and I'm really grateful that he had me do it that way, because it was really important for me to understand how the traditions apply to the service structure. The thing about and I didn't do this early on, but in here it talks about use of language, right? Sometimes, I think that the only way that some of those inmates can relate is through the use of foul language. That's the way I used to believe, and it took going to an H&I conference where a guy talked about, the fact that, anybody can swear, right? But part of the changes that you make is part of the way you change your life is you change the way that you talk, too. So I had to do some step work on that. And when I did the step work on it, I found out the reason why I did that. I did it because I was trying to get your attention, It made me feel that I was a part of. And today, that's not too much of a problem for me when I'm in the institution. I don't need to be able to communicate in a way where the message is around, I have to identify with you because by using foul language, I can communicate the same kinds of things without using that type of language. And I think it's important that we carry that kind of change, that they see that kind of change in us. The format, I think, is important. It talks in here about having a format when you go in. That format was established long before, and I kind of covered part of that around the shortcomings. It talks in here about material that you bring. In our institution like yours, probably you can't bring anything with metal in it, and they've allowed us to be able to carry some of the the white book and stuff in, but we have to remove the staples out of it in order to be able to do that. We always start our meetings off with just for today. That's always seems to be a good starting point as a topic to talk about what's really going on with you. So, all the literature that they taught us how to bring into meetings was really important. I'd like to tell you that in our area today that we do workshops around, those kinds of things to help new people learn. But really, I think most of our experience in our area, especially within my experience, has been that as a sponsor, it's my responsibility to teach the do's and the don'ts and that type of thing. It also talks in here about maybe you should go to, as a new person, take a new person, just don't let them speak first couple of times. And I really like that concept because it makes them feel a little bit more comfortable before they actually make a presentation. Again, as I indicated, and I'm not sure in your areas whether or not you're doing that, but it's really, really difficult to get people involved in H&I. The biggest thing I think that we try and communicate there is that it's, and I think everybody's intimidated by the amount of time it takes to get cleared, but we also try and tell them, look, there's other places you can go to where you don't need that kind of clearance. And, you know, we have quite a diversity of places that have treatment centers. We have adolescent locations. We have recovery homes, too, as well. We've got outpatient clinics as well. You know, yesterday's presentation about presenting to the community opened up a lot of eyes for me. And I understand ideally how sometimes it's really difficult to get into, like, certain institutions. But, you know, most of my experience has been about we've come in through the back door. It had to do with somebody who knew somebody before we did that. We've made presentations to hospitals before. The key, I think, was that we did it with the social workers. The problem was that there was no follow-up. And that's really, I think, where we kind of fell on our face, based on the fact that after we made the presentation, we didn't continue to follow up to make sure that they were doing referrals to us. And, you know, so that ball kind of got dropped. Hopefully you'll learn something from that, because it's really important to do a follow-up, you know, to make sure. It says here, encourage participants, you know, in meetings to be part of H&I. And that's, I try and carry that message whenever I share, you know, is that, especially after coming out of an institution and back into a meeting again, I think it's really important that they hear that enthusiasm. It's kind of like saying, you know what, you can get clean too, and you can make a change in your life too. And I know for a fact that H&I has been an important part of my recovery, and it continues to be. You know, this year I've been kind of like slacking off a little bit because I've had a lot of things I've had to take care of, but, you know, I'm still there, I'm still cleared. I just got another invitation to be cleared again, and I'll continue to go back. You know, pretty much that pretty much covers what I've done in terms of the workshop. We're going to open it up at the end for like questions and answers. Really, what I'd like to see too, as well, is to hear some of your experiences about maybe problems that you've had and how you've overcome those, as well as questions around how to get involved in the institutions. We have I missed. The Sheriff's Department yesterday presentation, but we have a great working relationship with the county in terms of we've been going in there for a long time. They pretty much are selective about who we see. You know, we're doing, most of the people are doing short periods of time. They won't let us go into the long-term facility, which is considered to be Bob Wiley. So, you know, we're working on that process too. The key is, how do you get enough people so that you could fulfill your commitment? That's another thing, too, is responsibility is really an important part of this. You know, making commitments to continue to do it. It's really important. I know it's important to the inmates as well to see you there on a regular basis. That's one of the first things they mention when you come in, is that they see that you're consistent in doing that. And, it's kind of like falls right in line with going to meetings and seeing the same people at meetings all the time, too. So, with that, I'll turn it over to Ralph, and he can share a little bit about his. And then if you have any questions for me, I'll be more than happy to try and answer those during the question and answer period. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, it's Ralph. I am a recovering addict. What a wonderful opportunity to feel humbled by the program that saved my life. I'm very grateful. And thank you, Bobby, for your share. It was great, you know. One of the things I found out about H&I work, especially with the institutions, specifically prisons, The first time I ever did H&I work was in Melbourne, Australia in 1986. My job, 1988, my job took me there, my wife and I. And we were going to NA there, and one day a guy came in the meeting and said, "Hey, you know, we need some volunteers to go down to the prison here in Melbourne and present some recovery work." I said, "Okay, we'll go." That's how it was. There was nobody to teach you anything, nobody to tell you anything. There weren't any formats to follow. There was nothing. Oh, they told you, no weapons, none of this, none of that. That's it. Or, it wasn't that you wouldn't be allowed to go in. You might be allowed to stay longer than we want you to stay there. That's what we were told. So we went several times, and then all of a sudden, it was over with. It was done. And then I was in Flint, Michigan, and a psychologist of Lapeer Correctional Institute heard me speak once. He said, "How would you like to come in every Tuesday and do some 12-step spirituality work with some prisoners?" I said, "Sure." And up in Flint, there was, again, this was 1990, 91, there wasn't any H&I panels, any H&I work. None of that was being done there. But and I remember they did this indelible thing on your wrist when you walked in, so you could put it under the blue light when you left. Well, they stamped my hand. I started to walk away. I said, "Just a minute, sir. Can I put my hand underneath that light to make sure it's there?" And I remember hearing that door close. And I, like Bobby, have never done time. Not that I shouldn't have. But I remember walking down the quadrangle with the officer by my side holding my notes and seeing a man walk across with his new garments that he was going to wear. He was just coming in. And knowing and saying, "Thank you, God, that this is the way you're allowing me to do my time." That was H&I. Because there wasn't anything else there. So, and then going into Milwaukee and doing presentations at treatment centers, and I was reading over the do's and don'ts here the other day, and I said, don't do that. Okay, I did that. Don't do that. I did that. Don't glorify your past. I mean, it's my past. Why can't I glorify it a little bit? And the language that Bobby talked about, it took me about maybe 12, 15 years of recovery to realize that was my own character defect, my own shortcoming. And I don't have to do that today. And I won't do that today. But I did have to do that because I wanted to get someone's attention. I wanted to show you all that I was just as good as you. I could use those languages too, and yet the biggest lesson I ever learned from doing work in a prison was to get the definition of the word humility that I needed at that time. Back in the early 90s, we were asking people for the definition of words, and we came to humbly, and everybody gave their definition, but there was a man in the corner. I can see his face, I don't remember his name. Raised his hand, I said, "What do you think humbly means?" He said, simply. And that became my hallmark of the word humble, to be simple. Not to be egotistical, not to glorify things, not to, look at me, here I am. Be simple, Ralph. Be humble. And I lived with that for many years. Another thing in H&I, as I'm thinking about that I've come to learn, and bless you. We did that today. I shared it with Bobby today. And we did exactly that. The first thing we did was pray. The second thing we did was prepare. Both of us. And the third thing we're doing is presenting. Pray, prepare, present. And you'll come to understand a real neat thing. That you can control the prayer, because you can pray as long or short as you want. You control the presentation. You can do it as in depth or as loosely as you want. And the thing that you have to let go of when you're presenting is the presentation. Even though you've done the praying and the preparation, always come to a point where you let go and let God say, show me, God. Show me what they need, not what I need to give them. And we're in this program, you know it's going to be wrapped around Narcotics Anonymous. But the part that they need, what step do they need? What slogan do they need?
And it'll come out. And in our manual, they give us a whole list of various things that the topics we can bring in, you know, like surrender, except, you know, all those things that, oh, we know them real good. But who wants to talk about surrender and acceptance and mundane things like that, or the second or third step? Why not? Learning to trust, feelings, letting go. Tools of the fellowship. The first three steps, denial, reservations. All those things. And sometimes, you know, you think you're going to do the first three steps and you walk in, And this neon sign is going on in your mind that says, acceptance. You don't understand, God. I just did a lot of preparation on the first three steps. You know? And acceptance. Okay, I give up. I accept. It's all right. Always be, you know, you don't go alone into an H&I presentation. Do you know that? You don't go alone. And when you even go with somebody there, there's someone higher that's going in with both of you. Stop with your partner or partners. Say a prayer. You know, many of us have said, it's all you have to do. As simple as, God guide us. Whatever you choose to do. Because that centers us. That centers us into carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous as our higher power wants us to take it into these people, what they need, what they want. Another thing, you don't say, I feel like I'm talking to my kids. Yeah, right, boy, that'll make someone feel real good, right? Oh, gee, that, you know. Trying to compare your bottom to theirs. Patronizing adolescents. Oh, you'll really go a long way with that. They'll just love you to pieces, won't they? Yeah. Use profanity. You don't want to do that either. Now, some of the do's that it tells us in our pamphlet here is that remember to stay at the WE program. No addict should feel that he or she is being preached to. No addict ever preaching to.
How can I help you? What can I do for you? What can I give you that I was freely given? What can I freely give it to you now?
Remember that as an addict, that an addict is an addict, no matter what the age is. We're all equal. We're on a, I got to tell you a real funny story. I have cancer, and I had to... It took me back. Cancer took me back. You know, when I first came into recovery, there was no NA. But when, you know, being part of the first NA group that was in Detroit in 1983, I remember looking at other addicts and, you know, well, I never did heroin. Maybe I snorted once. You know, I never put a needle in my arm, man. No, I was up here with that, you know. And after a couple, 3 weeks, I realized that playing field was equal. If it was one pill, you know, or a week-long jag, didn't make any difference. And as I'm sitting there with my first chemo treatment with the needle in my arm, my story came back to me from the early days, way back when. And I started laughing. And I said, okay, God, I didn't know there was any of that egotism still left in me, but I got the message now. You can take the needle out of the arm. And I joked about it with one of my nurses, and she knew I was a member of NA, and we had a good laugh over it. Remember, an addict is an addict is an addict, no matter what age is, no matter what the deal is.
Tell them that there is fun in recovery, social events, fellowship, meetings. You'll meet new people, better people, better. Oh, you can't use that word. What do you mean? I can't use that word. Better people than the people they're hanging around with right now. And hopefully they can carry a message to those people and they'll become better people, better meaning clean. Don't be afraid to use words that people say you shouldn't use. Because maybe your higher power has a message in that word for you to give to someone else. Acknowledge and validate their feelings and emotions, because that's so important. Their feelings and emotions have to be validated. There's just no two ways around it. Acknowledge and validate their clean time. Boy, that's one of the most beautiful things we do in Narcotics Anonymous. Someone comes in, has a day, 5 years, 40 years, doesn't make any difference. We acknowledge that. It means something. It means that that one day at a time has been strung together, or that 1 hour, or that 1 second at a time has been come into 24 hours. Wow! Wow! And we have the ability in our H&I work to do that. And real quickly, I want to say the other thing about how you feel after you do H&I. Oh, look at the smiles around the room. You all know that, don't you? We talk about there's no greater feeling, no greater thing you can do than one addict talking to another addict and how you feel. I was sharing with Bobby this morning about times that I've had chemo and I've had my sponsees scheduled for the next day. I don't know if you know, but sometimes there's other things that come around, like constipation, diarrhea, and just generally feeling lousy. And I want to pick up that phone and say, hey, let's make another day. And what comes into my mind then is what I get sitting down with another addict. And it has never failed that I have, after they've left my house, that I have come from here to there someplace I can't even see. And H&I work takes you even higher. It takes you even higher. So no matter what your problem is, no matter where you're at, and it's time to look forward to that H&I time of that day that you're going to go to. First of all, you're going to be with another addict or two going into that situation. You're going to do some praying, and then you're going to be with people who you're going to be able to freely give what you've freely been given. Wow! You're going to float out of there. You know, how many times you've been on that? You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't have that pink cloud anymore. I get my sponsees involved with H&I work. I say, you want to be on that pink cloud for a while? Here, do some H&I work. And they'll walk out that way. And we carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous even deeper into society and into places that people need it. There is no greater part of it, my recovery. They're all equal. But one of the things that has just a little step above is my H&I work. It really does make me feel just so wonderful. And if it does it for this addict, then I know it does it for every addict. Because we're all on that equal playing field, aren't we? And I'm looking around, I see, as Bobby says, you know, I see the choir. You guys know what I'm talking about. And all I wanted to do is, if there's anybody in this room where that fire was burning a little lower, I want to throw some spiritual wood on it and crank it up a little bit for you. So you take it back to your sponsees and take it back to your home groups. And like Bobby says, talk it up, get some people in. Isn't it funny that when we do an event, a dance or something like that, we can get a lot of people in? But H&I work, well, maybe we can't get as many people in. Get out there and pump it up! Throw that spiritual wood on, turn that fire, that spiritual fire up, and have them say, come on, let's go help some addicts that can't get out to a meeting. Because you're going to feel good when you do. You're going to feel great when you do. Now, I know some of you have got some questions. What do you think, Bobby? That's it for me with my presentation. I just wanted to light some fires up. And because I love H&I work. I love working with other addicts. So, shall we? Anybody have? Okay, won't be able to work. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Any share that you'd like to share that you have with regard to H&I work that you've done?
And right here, I know we can get it over there.
Hi, Tony. I'm Tony Attic. You mentioned about the do's and don'ts, and I recently got re-involved with H&I in my area. I went down to a meeting because I heard the prior meeting that the chair wasn't there and they didn't have a vice chair. So I just wanted to show up and I walked out the vice chair. So, and what I found when we started doing it again is that we were not handing out a do's and don'ts. They wasn't taking them to, and they're wondering why the facilities are calling back and complaining about what they're sharing, how they're sharing, what they're doing. So I just wanted to stress the importance of keeping those do's and don'ts, and I've let them know before their speaker speaks, they're supposed to read the do's and don'ts before they go in. Don't just walk in here 5 minutes before and think you're going to go in there and share. You need to know so that we don't lose this facility. And I did have an experience. You talk about the highs. 2 years ago, I got to go down to the Philippines, and they took me to a prison down there. Now, you have not seen prison until you've been to a Philippine prison. There is no comparison. And to go in there and see the gratitude that those guys had for us coming in there was phenomenal. It was like a crack house. It was just phenomenal. So it does happen.
Thank you for sharing that, Tony. Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yes.
Hi, I'm Dennis. I'm an addict. And you were talking about things not to say and to say. And the big experience I have is I take a panel into Patton State Hospital for the people by reason of guilty by reason of insanity. And I used to get nervous about it when I would give my spiel, you know, talking about how I'd love to go to chaos and I'd love to go to the edge of insanity and stuff and how they would react. And then I started remembering that it's in the readings that they would read. And their eyes would light up and glow from the readings. And now we're doing book studies in there and it talks about the insanity of the disease. And they don't sit there and take offense because they're becoming chemically stable. You know. But I do appreciate what it says in the do's and don'ts about the language of swearing, you know, because the side effect of that is that I've cleaned my language up at work. I went from a factory worker to an office worker, and the women says, "You don't talk like that in here, Dennis." And H&I helped me learn how to govern my speech, where now it's not second nature not to swear. It's first nature. I don't need to use those emphasis words anymore. And, you know, and it's a blessing. It's a secondary blessing from doing H&I. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. I wouldn't want to get it wound up there.
My name's Cliff. I'm an addict.
Hi, Cliff.
And, you know, one of the things that both of you kind of touched on was the fact that we expect our panel members to know what goes on in an H&I panel. I mean, how are we going to get that? Osmosis? Well, some of us that are doing it for a long time don't know what's supposed to happen at a panel meeting. And, you know, that's my observation. I've been doing H&I for 19 years. And, you know, I've been blessed to go into some places where I was heading if I would have stayed out there doing the stuff that I was doing. But like you guys, the longest I've ever been locked up was 11 days straight. You know, and I had occasion to be in DVI one year talking to some of the fellows there, and this guy had been there 27 years, and he was not going anywhere too soon. And his arms are as big as my thighs, and I go, "Al," I go, "what am I bringing into you guys, man?" I said, I've never been locked up in a place like this. He goes, "You know what, Cliff?" He goes, "We know how to do time. We know how to do drugs. What we want to hear from you is, what you do out there where drugs are easier and cheaper to get to stay clean. He goes, that's what you're bringing in. So, you know what, that's my, part of my pitch. We have a choice today whether we choose to use or not to use. And you know what, that's what I offer. The thing about panels, and I'll tell you what, I've gotten back involved with our local H&I committee up there. I'm a Santa Claus Valley Groups is my home area. And it's an uphill battle to convince the H&I subcommittee that we need to do preparation for panels. People that want to be on a panel, you know what, come on, we're going to give you some training. And you know, I've been blessed. The people in my region have invested a considerable amount of money in educating me how to do presentations. And I whine regularly at the RSC about, you guys aren't utilizing the money that you spent on me to have me travel to different World Service events, to sit into workshops. Similar to this, some of them are a little bit different where you're actually taking a problem and solving it within 5 minutes or 7.5 minutes. And you know what? The opportunity is there to educate our members. It's just that we need to switch our gears a little bit, because H&I isn't about me going in and carrying my personal story and all the gory details. It's about going in and generally touching on, I was here, this is what happened, and this is what NA has done for me to help me better my life, clean up my language, to where every other word doesn't have to start with an F, you know, and to learn to interact with authority figures like police, because I have challenges with authority figures still, and I've been dealing with you know, correctional facility officials and police departments and lawyers and all that stuff for a while. It's just, I don't like them, you know, because genetically I'm predisposed to challenge authority. I'm a child of the 60s, and that's what's happened with me. But anyway, you know what, if nothing else, I would like to hope to think that we walk out of here with an understanding that it's our responsibility to train the people that are coming up, and it's also our responsibility to try to assist with furthering the education of people that are currently doing H&I, because once we've done something for a while, we think we know how to do it. And, you know, the H&I handbook has got a lot of good stuff in it. The PR handbook has some really good stuff in it, too. And the question I have for both of you guys before I shut up, have either of you been involved in a joint public information and H&I presentation to, like, a correctional facility staff? And so with that, my name is Cliff. I'm an addict.
I am. And so, as I indicated to you before, that was the position I actually had, but I was actually doing H&I at the same time when we made the presentation to the hospital. You know, we set up the original meeting with the director of social services, and then they brought all the social workers together. So yes, we've done both. Matter of fact, in our area, they kind of like work hand in hand. We don't have the public relations set up yet, but PI and H&I kind of like work together. In terms of like trying to get in either new facilities or existing ones, if there's problems with that as well. So.
And I haven't, you're the next man. I haven't, but I have a very good feeling knowing my brother Cliff over here, who one day said to me, Ralph, hey, why don't you go down to Atwater and get cleared? I went down to Atwater and got cleared. And I have a feeling I'm going to be at a few of those other P&I meetings and H&I meetings, and I got a feeling that, you know what, Cliff, you know that I'm going to be there with you when we need to get an H&I panel into a treatment center or a halfway house or something else, because it's in my heart. Thank you. Okay. Hi, Larry.
Okay, Larry Attic.
Hi, Larry.
We've all probably experienced some level of lack of not only self-motivation, but getting the fellowship, getting people to participate in H&I. And I just quickly wanted to share a couple of experiences with those of you, because when they were shared with me many years ago, that I've used them throughout the years to help me stay motivated and to help get other people motivated. My first experience in H&I was in it's kind of like a juvenile hall boot camp for adolescents. And an older member would take me in there, and we would sit for an hour, hour and a half, and the kids would just, you know, be chasing butterflies and not paying attention and not even care, and we would leave, and I would say, dude, you know, why are we even there? You know, they don't want us there, you know, and he told me that we're just there planting the seed for that one day. When they get in trouble with drugs, they may look back on this event and think, hey, who were those two old hippies that showed up and what kind of drugs were they doing? And anything that would spark, their memory or their interest, where to go, that Narcotics Anonymous is a place that they can go, when or if drugs became a problem in their life. Something that I do use on a regular basis, and I even put it in my area reports, I heard this about 8 years ago in Bakersfield. But I don't know which is truer. Old-timers do H&I, or you become an old-timer by doing H&I. And I don't even care which is truer. But I think the bottom line is that I want to stay clean. I know it's a Just for Today program, but I like the idea of having a whole bunch of Just for Today's. And if H&I is going to help me gather up all those H&I's, or those Just for Today's, well, I'm cool with that. I'm still active. When I'm in the facility, I'm talking about county jails, and the guys are always, wow, Larry, thanks for coming. We, you know, we appreciate you, man. You know, you take your own time, and you come out here, and we thank you. We really appreciate you coming. I always tell them, well, that's really cool. I'm really glad that you get something out of us coming out here. You're getting something out of what we have to offer. But I'm not here for you. They told me a long time ago that if I did this kind of work, that I would stay clean. And I think the message in that is very, very strong. Okay, that I'm not going out there telling Larry's message. I'm going out there telling the H&I message that this kind of service work has kept me clean this long. I'm here today telling you this is why I'm clean. So that when they get out of the facility and they come to the program, that they can learn that little piece. Maybe they'll remember that old hippie told them that he stayed clean by doing H&I work. I think that's a great message.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much. We've got to wrap it up, but thank you for putting your hands up. And I know you got good. If you need to have a question, Bobby and I'll be available. I want to close this part of it by reading the purpose of the H&I. I know you all know it, okay? But maybe it'll jog our minds just a little bit to take it from this meeting. It says the purpose. Purpose of H&I meeting presentation is to carry the message to addicts who do not have full access to regular Narcotics Anonymous meetings. H&I meetings presentations, except for those in long-term facilities, are intended to simply introduce those attending to recovery through the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I know I can speak for Bobby. Thank you all for being here. We thank you for being a part of our recovery today, right, brother? Okay, and now could we join a circle and...